Welcome to our Sunday, April 19th seminar, webinar, featuring Julian Assange and the fight for his freedom. I'm Jeff Mackler. I'll be moderating today's event, which is sponsored by several organizations, in fact, 30, including the newly formed Committee to Defend Julian Assange and Civil Liberties, the Courage Foundation, United National Anti-War Coalition, UNAC, and the National Lawyers Guild. We'll start out with presentations from our panelists and some videos, including three by the co-national chair of the chairs of the National Committee to Defend Julian Assange and Civil Liberties. They are Dan Ellsberg of the Pentagon Papers, Noam Chomsky, leading intellectual, linguist, social activist, and Alice Walker, Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist and author of The Color Purple. So let's begin with Julian Assange's attorney from London, Jennifer Robinson.
The case against Julian Assange sets a dangerous precedent for journalists and editors everywhere. Julian now faces 175 years in prison for publications which revealed evidence of war crimes, torture, and human rights abuse. Julian and WikiLeaks have won numerous awards the world over for this important work. The material was published together with more than 100 media partners around the world, including The Guardian, The New York Times, Der Spiegel, Le Monde, El País, and so many others. For now, Julian is the only person who's facing prosecution for publishing this material. But as we've warned since 2010, this is a precedent that can and will be used against editors and journalists everywhere. In this case, the United States government is setting up a precedent whereby any journalist or editor anywhere in the world that publishes truthful information in the public interest about the United States could face extradition and prosecution in the United States. What does this say to other countries like China or Russia? How would we react if Saudi Arabia sought to extradite a British or American journalist to face prosecution in Saudi Arabia for having published information about Saudi Arabia? Already, we're seeing Bolsonaro's Brazil using the case theory that the United States is using against Julian Assange to prosecute American journalist Glenn Greenwald. Who will be next? Julian is now in a high security prison here in London, where I have to go to visit him. He's asked me to pass on his sincere thanks to all of you and to the supporters that continue to turn up to protests and continue to support the work of the Courage Foundation. Thanks for your work.
Well, let's go on to the next segment of our discussion. Let's hear from Jim Lafferty, longtime, decades-long executive director of the National Lawyers Guild in Los Angeles, to frame the case of Julian Assange. Jim, are you ready?
I am ready, and thank you. Thank you very much. I should mention, I suppose, as well, that I'm also the host of the Warriors Guild show on Pacifica Radio, and a member of the governing board of the ACLU of Southern California, and a fellow at the Institute for the Humanities at the University of Southern California. It's truly a mockery of the law that Julian Assange is being prosecuted by the United States under the old Espionage Act, which was passed during World War I for use against spies. And he's the first and only journalist ever charged under that act. Of course, it's ridiculous. He's charged with conspiring with Chelsea Manning to publish those Iraq war logs, which, among many other telling documents, contains the collateral murder video showing US military personnel openly and happily, if you will, murdering 10 civilians, two of whom were children and two of whom were Reuters reporters. In prosecuting Assange for espionage, the Trump administration has really had to dig deep and find a buried subsection of the espionage. And in doing so, this section would allow them, if it works, to prosecute anyone who simply receives or retains or possesses national defense information. Matt Taibbi, in the book entitled In Defense of Julian Assange, makes the point that if the government is allowed to get away with using this tool to successfully prosecute writers and journalists and publishers, in very short order, we will have no writers, we will have no publishers. Shamefully, not all in the U.S. immediately, and the left or in the media for that matter either, in the civil liberties community, came to the support of Julian Assange when they should have, and to the defense of freedom of the press, which was being attacked. And all of those who neglected to get on initially were being attacked, whether they knew it or not. Many in the left, I think, were simply dissuaded, bought into the nonsense, BS, false rumors spread in some cases by the US government. I mean, Hillary Clinton didn't lose the election because of anything Assange did. She lost it because of what she didn't do. And as far as that alleged Assange sex crimes, sex scandal, months and months ago, the two women involved in that said publicly, very clearly, they were not assaulted sexually or any other way by Julian Assange, that the statements their government was making was not true. But what is true is that it should greatly alarm us. The Trump administration is simply hellbound on a campaign to silence any journalist who wants to expose the corrupt acts of the US and many of our Western imperialist allies. Crimes such as the multitude of the US war crimes in the Middle East that Assange published in WikiLeaks. And what is also true, sisters and brothers, what is also true is that our brother Julian Assange is now facing 175 years in prison if he is extradited back to the United States. Meanwhile, Julian has been locked away for over a year in an isolated cell in England, where so far as his ongoing extradition hearing is concerned, well, that hearing has really made, I don't know, kangaroo courts look good. He's locked away in solitary confinement. Julian can't even talk to his lawyers for more than 10 minutes at a time, and it's very difficult to even arrange that. Indeed, speaking of Julian, Niels Melzer, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture, says, and I quote, "In 20 years of working with war victims, violence and political prosecution and persecution, I have never seen a group of democratic states unite to deliberately isolate, demonize, and abuse a single individual for so long a time and with such little respect for human dignity and status of rights. Julian Assange's collective persecution must end here and now," he says. And Julian himself, on May 13th of last year, writing from his horrific British imprisonment, tells us that, "I am unbroken, albeit literally surrounded by murderers. But the days when I could read and speak and organize to defend myself, my ideals, my people are over until I am free. Everyone else must take my place. I am defenseless, and I am counting on you and others of good character to save my life. Truth, ultimately, is all we have," Julian concludes. So sisters and brothers, the question that confronts us today and why it is so wonderful to be having this forum is, will we let Julian Assange's case become the final nail, if you will, in the coffin of free and independent press in America? Or will the most unimaginable injustice of his case arouse our justifiable anger and inspire us to, you know, fight like hell to save his life as we fight like hell to save freedom of the press? For without a free press, we're never going to win back our now clearly lost democracy. So I urge us all to keep reaching out to our sisters and brothers as we are today. Tell them the truth about Julian Assange. Urge them to join the growing numbers of us all over the world who are coming to support Julian to save his life, and more critically, are fighting to save freedom of the press in America, and the freedom to write, and freedom to speak and publish the truth. For as Julian says, truth ultimately is all we have. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim Lafferty. For those latecomers, I'm Jeff Mackler, representing the steering committee of the newly formed Committee to Defend Julian Assange and Civil Liberties. And I am pleased to host this meeting. The format is we will hear from our six speakers for approximately 5 minutes each. We'll go to them again for a second round of additional questions and comments at 2 minutes. And then we will turn to our audience, who we can involve as participants via question and answer. Just check your connection and you can write your questions. And it would be very helpful if you describe who you are. So with that, let's go to our second panelist and welcome Margaret Kimberly. She is the senior editor of the Black Agenda Report and a social activist across the board in so many other organizations. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, everyone. Yes, my name is Margaret Kimberly, and as Jeff said, I'm an editor and senior columnist at Black Agenda Report. And I am also among the contributor to the OR Books anthology in defense of Julian Assange, which I was very proud to be a part of. I thank the Courage Foundation for giving us another opportunity to explain to the public why it's so important to defend Julian Assange, not only against these charges, but to defend him against the work of this surveillance state, which threatens him and all of us too. The indictment against Assange basically criminalizes journalism. There are newspapers throughout this country, throughout the world, who have published classified material, who have published information that governments did not want the people to have. But this case makes it clear that any of those journalists at any time can be snatched up by the United States, brought to this country, and forced to be before a kangaroo court in what we used to call show trials, when it was these cases involved the Soviet Union or some other country we were told not to like. But it's very clear that Julian Assange, if he is extradited here, faces a show trial. He's been indicted under the Espionage Act, which was born in the days of the Red Scare of 1917, and is a relic of the past, which had fallen into disuse until Barack Obama used it to prosecute whistleblowers, not spies. And he used this law more often than any of his predecessors. If you combined all of their the instances when they charged people, it was not as often as Obama had done. And it should be noted that Assange can never be treated justly in the United States. The Eastern District Court of Virginia, the court that handed down the indictment, is presided over by Judge Leonie Brickema, who meets every definition of a hanging judge. No one charged with espionage in her court is ever acquitted. Defense material is classified, sometimes retroactively. And I also want to point out something that it's one of those things people think they know because they've heard it so often. I want to point out the Swedish courts did not charge Julian Assange with rape. Investigators met with him in Sweden and in London and still declined to charge him. And the charges were finally dropped after Ecuador broke its own laws and handed him over to the British. And so these charges were no longer useful to them and became irrelevant. But none of these facts seem to matter to people who ordinarily would be Assange supporters. The liberals who donate to the American Civil Liberties Union or who are upset when Trump calls the media enemies of the people have forgotten Julian Assange, or some actually take comfort in his suffering. And that's because the Democratic and Republican parties, the security state and the corporate media have all propagandized people over many years now. And in particular, since the 2016 presidential election. Assange and WikiLeaks have been blamed for Donald Trump's election. Of course, Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party are the guilty parties here, but after their debacle, they shrewdly determined that making Assange an enemy took responsibility away from them and gave that power to the national security state versus those who want to reveal their crimes. The years-long vilification of Assange has succeeded all too well in raising questions about him as a person and leading to vilification and demonization of the work of WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks has exposed criminality all across the world, corruption, and most importantly, war crimes. And in particularly, the Iraq war crimes exposed by Chelsea Manning made real the aggressions that occur after the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq that started in 2003. We should remember that the Iraq war, allegedly opposed by candidate Barack Obama, took place during the administration of his predecessor, George W. Bush. But imperialism is bipartisan, and so is the effort to crush dissent and keep the public in the dark about how the violence, about the level of violence used to carry it out. We have to be clear, there should be no hesitation. As the saying goes, no ifs, no ands, no buts about defending Assange, the body of his work, and fighting the attempt to extradite him from the UK to certain conviction in a US court. While his role in exposing Iraq war crimes is the reason for his prosecution, it is his involvement in exposing the Democratic National Committee emails during the 2016 presidential campaign, which has created more animus against him. Despite what we've been told over the last 4 years, there's no proof that the Russian government or anyone else hacked the DNC. Instead, there's evidence that Assange received his information the way he always did. It was leaked to him. But the exposure of DNC corruption was used to defend Hillary Clinton and the party establishment and explain away their unexpected defeat. Lastly, we must, in defending Julian Assange, speak out against the very damaging influence of their defenders among the liberal class, unable to take responsibility for their failure, to millions of people who expected them to win. They have instead attacked Assange, cast aspersions against all anti-imperialist forces, and supported censorship, which is intended to prevent communication that his prosecutors don't want any of us to know. I think Assange is guilty of naivete. He didn't know that by publishing the truth about the DNC, that he would make enemies among people who would ordinarily be his backers. And I think it's very important that we are all here today and that we speak up against these people who would have us lied to, who would cover up terrible crimes, and who would use this man and other people who speak out against them in order to silence all of us, in order to silence all dissent. Thank you so much.
Why does Julian Assange, in the case of Julian Assange, matter to America and freedom of the press today?
The attempt to extradite and prosecute Julian Assange, and he's already been indicted, is a direct assault on the freedom of the press, on the First Amendment, and on journalism here in general. It's the very first prosecution of a journalist for doing journalism, criminalizing journalism, in effect, in this country, in blatant violation of the First Amendment. My case, many years ago, was the first prosecution of anyone as a whistleblower for leaking information, classified information, to the public. There have been many leaks before, but no prosecutions, precisely because of the First Amendment, which obviously forbade such prosecutions. So my prosecution was an experiment to see whether some law, in this case the Espionage Act, so-called Espionage Act, could be used against the non-espionage defendant. I wasn't claimed to be a spy. It was recognized that I was a source, in fact, they knew, acting out of patriotic motives, to give information to the public that the government did not want out because it revealed violations of treaties, it revealed decades of lying to the American public and of secret threats that had increasingly escalated a wrongful, hopeless, murderous war. Like, for example, the war that we have waged on Iraq for many years now, and was impending just last week as we speak, actually, against Iran. I don't think any of those wars would have existed, would have come about, had there been whistleblowers like Chelsea Manning or Ed Snowden, both of whom were facilitated by Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. If that had been, if the public and the Congress had been told about the planning, the threats, the lies involved in those operations, I think that what amount to millions of people ultimately would have lived, would have had their lives spared. I wish that had happened just at last week as we speak here now in early January, where many people must have understood that what the newspapers described as their stunning reaction, their being stunned to President Trump's choice of what was called an option, but a clearly illegal, unconstitutional murder, political murder of Qasem Soleimani in Iraq. I think that there would have been certainly opposition in Congress and in the public of a kind that we did not see apparently inside the executive branch. The point here is that for many years, whistleblowers have been essentially needed if we were to avert both unconstitutional and terrible wrongful wars.
Julian Assange performed a major service. He has found ways to gain access to materials that the population should definitely know about, and he's released them to the public, an effort. For this, he's already been very severely punished. He was under very punitive house arrest for years, sequestered in the Ecuadorian embassy. They kicked him out. He's been placed in a high-security prison. His life is in danger from the treatment he's received, and he's now facing the threat of very severe punishment by the U.S. government for the services that he's performed for the public. A matter of extreme importance for those who care about the brutal and unfair treatment of someone, and also who care about the right of citizens to gain access to knowledge about what their elected representatives are doing.
Well, I went to see Julian in his captivity some years ago, and I was there because it seemed absolutely cruel and unbearable that such a strong and staunch and honorable person should be imprisoned just because he was trying to help us understand that some of our countries, especially the United States, are trying to destroy what's left of many people's lives around the globe. I've always been very much impressed with his courage, with his, you know, generosity, actually with his own life force. This is someone who has given up so many of the pleasures that we enjoy who are not incarcerated. Time with his children, with his family, with his father. So I very much feel that, and I felt that when I saw him in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. He's also quite prickly, which it took a while for me to understand that is just his character, that he is so specific about things being factual, that he was a little irritating in that regard. But I think what I finally took from that was that this is someone who really wants the absolute fact. He wants the truth. And that made me feel even better eventually about him as a person who has really fine character. Whatever else people may think or, you know, dream up or posit, this is a man of character, and he doesn't seem to lose it just because you've come 2,000 miles to his cell to talk to him. So I think that that's a good thing. I think that we should continue to try with all our might to get him out of any incarceration, to reconnect him with his father and with his children. I think it's a deep crime, you know, to keep him from his children. And that's about what I feel. I mean, if you have another question to pose, I would be happy to attempt to respond.
Yeah, so we have a room full of activists and supporters of Assange and WikiLeaks. And so what can we do to raise our voices to make an impact here?
Well, I think for each person there is a way, and that is where we are now. We're not actually in the time anymore of just thinking that some group that we put together is going to do it. This is a time when each person has to really decide whether they feel that they deserve a life on this planet in freedom and joy and, you know, possibility of some dancing, or whether they just are going to be, you know, happy to have other people do the work. So wherever you can make a difference, wherever you can speak, wherever you can walk, wherever you can send letters, whatever you can do, I mean, just do that, you know, and encourage that in everyone. On every issue. I mean, it's not, I mean, Julian Assange's issue is incredibly vital and crucial to our freedom of speech. But there are all these other places where people really will just have to get up and stand up, in the words of Bob Marley, you know, and be there for whatever they truly believe in, or we have no future.
That was Dan Ellsberg and Noam Chomsky, who, along with Alice Walker, Pulitzer Prize novelist, are the three co-national chairs of the Committee to Defend Julian Assange and Civil Liberties. Let's now turn to Joe Lombardo. Joe is the national co-coordinator of UNAC, the United National Anti-War Coalition, which just completed a successful conference in mid-February in New York City, attended by 300 activists from 27 states. Welcome, Joe Lombardo.
Thank you, Jeff, and thanks everybody for being here, for speaking, and for joining the webinar. I think this is an important event in organizing for the freedom of Julian Assange. The case of Julian Assange is very important for the anti-war movement and for any movement for social change. The right to speak out and protest is essential to our movements. Julian Assange was doing just that. He was speaking truth to power, and so the U.S. government is trying to shut him up. And if they succeed, other journalists who criticize the U.S. government, regardless of what country they come from, will fear when they speak the truth, and so will we. I think it was the collateral murder video that Chelsea Manning sent to WikiLeaks and they published that enraged the United States government the most and made them go after Julian Assange. I saw that video at the founding conference of the United National Anti-War Coalition, where it was shown to the 800 people that were present. It was introduced and explained by Ethan McCord, who was a soldier at the massacre in Iraq that video is about. Through that experience, Ethan McCord started questioning the war and later became a vocal opponent of the war and ended up speaking at our anti-war conference. If you haven't seen that video, it shows an American helicopter flying above a group of people in Baghdad. Some were reporters and had cameras, but the Americans in the helicopter did not know what they were carrying. And so they just shot and killed or wounded the whole group of people that was in that square. In the video taken from the helicopter, you can hear the American soldiers laughing as they shoot and kill civilians and reporters on the ground. Soon a van came and tried to help the wounded. So the American soldiers fired on that van, killing the driver, who was the father of two young children who were in the back seat. The children were both wounded. American soldiers arrived on foot. Ethan McCord was one of them. He carried a young girl from the back seat of that van and had to pull out a piece of glass out of her eye. This was a war crime. It is one of many that the U.S. is responsible for in its never-ending wars. So the U.S. covered it up. They classified the video and made the entire incident go away until Chelsea Manning sent the video to WikiLeaks and they published it. The U.S. routinely classifies anything that it does not want people to see. There were no secret military codes or information about maneuvers or secret weapons that might justify the video being classified. It just showed a war crime. And war crimes should not be covered up. They should be exposed. And that is what WikiLeaks, Assange, and Manning did. they provided a necessary service for all the people of the world. By classifying this video, we were all being denied the right to know what the U.S. did and is doing with its military, which today is in 172 countries, with 20 times the number of foreign military bases as all other countries in the world combined. To the war makers, the truth is a crime, and not their legal, illegal, and immoral wars. So the U.S. has gone after Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning. There has been a war on the truth in the United States that is growing in intensity. When I was a young man organizing against the war in Vietnam, whenever we wanted to have a meeting, there were churches and universities that would open their doors for meetings and teach-ins. Today, these doors are closed to our movement, where rooms cost a lot of money. This is all done in the name of security to fight their phony war on terror. The Telecommunications Act, which was enacted under the Clinton administration, took away many of the safeguards that prevented domination of the media by wealthy right-wing groups. When we organize a protest today, we are likely told by the police that there is a free speech zone where we can protest, which might be far away from the event that we are protesting. The attacks on Assange come in the midst of this war on free speech, and they take this war one dangerous step further. Today we meet virtually because the coronavirus prevents us from meeting in person. The authoritarian leaders around the world, including Trump in the United States, are using this crisis to pass legislation to support the wealthy at the expense of working people. They are making new rules without opposition. This includes attacks on civil liberties. However, the crisis is creating a new consciousness among millions of people. When we come out of isolation, we will have to push back against these rules and attacks on civil liberties and organize those who are seeing reality in a new light, perhaps for the first time. We may find many more people willing to fight for civil liberties against the wars and the rights of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. The attack on Assange is an attack on all of us. Using a phrase that helped organize the labor movement in the United States, an injury to one is an injury to all. Let's free Julian Assange. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe Lombardo. Just to inform our audience that we have been receiving questions and comments from all over the United States and Europe. People are saying we should march on the White House. Ralph Pointer, the husband of the now deceased Lynn Stewart, sends his solidarity. Jim's friends, Chris Toussaint, said, love your KPFK show for years. Others are attacking the US media. People are sending messages from Maine asking about Assange's health. More people say we need to march on the White House. People are warning that people in Belmarsh prison have already died of WikiLeaks and call attention to the immediate crisis facing him. People are hailing the freedom of Chelsea Manning and demand that Julian be next and freed immediately. So we have questions and we're going to get to these a bit later. Right now we're finishing up with the first round of panel discussion. I will ask our technical expert whether or not following the next speaker, we can hear from Jennifer Robinson, Assange's attorney. In the meantime, let's turn to Nathan Fuller. Nathan is the executive director of the Courage Foundation that is founded to defend WikiLeaks fighters, including and especially Julian Assange, but Chelsea Manning, Edward Snowden, and others. Welcome, Nathan Fuller.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you to the co-sponsors and organizers and all my fellow panelists. Really appreciate you coming together online at this time. And so as this was initially planned, as you mentioned, as a benefit for the Courage Foundation, I figure I should tell you for those who don't know what that is. We're an international whistleblower support group. As you've said, we raise funds and awareness about Chelsea Manning and Jeremy Hammond and others. We successfully defended against the extradition of UK citizen Lowry Love, who was also accused of a computer crime here in the US. And we run Julian Assange and WikiLeaks' official defense fund at defend.wikileaks.org. And later in the program, I can come back to more ways to get involved. But right now, that is a key place to go, defend.wikileaks.org, where you can donate and get updates and other ways to get involved. As a way to give a little update on the latest legal developments for Julian, and I was in London covering his hearing, which started its first week in February and is scheduled to continue for 3 weeks starting May 18th. I thought I should talk about a little of the detail in our defense of Lowry Love. One of the biggest factors in Lowry Love's case was evidence about the inadequacy of healthcare in the U.S. prison system. And the U.K. High Court actually ruled that because U.S. prisons have so little healthcare, particularly so little mental healthcare, that sending Lowry Love, who has depression and Asperger's, sending him to the U.S. would mean sending him to his death. And in Julian's case, there are some similarities here. The U.S. wants the U.K. to send a non-U.S. citizen. And it's really important that we remember Assange is an Australian citizen who's been working in Europe. And the U.S. wants to say that they can dictate who can publish beyond its borders about what it does. And the implications for that are not just in America, they are global. The U.S. wants to send a non-U.S. citizen with mental and physical health issues to the U.S. prison system for an alleged crime that took place when the defendant was not on U.S. soil, to face a lifetime in prison, which there means to face death. But for Julian now, it's even worse. Right now, COVID-19 is spreading through U.K. prisons rapidly. It has already killed at least one fellow inmate at Belmarsh, which is where Julian had already been spending most of his time in solitary confinement. The UK has issued directives to release certain kinds of prisoners, some low-risk, vulnerable prisoners, which Julian clearly falls under that category, but not all of them. They've carved out exceptions that always happen to exclude Julian Assange. They want to release people not named Julian Assange and avoid the PR mess otherwise. They're like releasing some people just because they're not on remand, which means that they release people who've been convicted before they even release some people who haven't stood trial yet. So here the US and UK are teaming up, UK doing the US's bidding to put Julian in even worse, incredible danger. And it's all to do two things. One, to make an extreme example of Julian Assange, as it has been doing with Chelsea Manning, to show the world the lengths the US is willing to go to in order to punish someone who exposed their crimes. And then they want to set a precedent that puts the criminalization of investigative journalism on the books for good, to give prosecutors the green light to charge journalists who shine a light on American crimes around the world. So all of these together serve to produce a great chilling effect on journalism the world over. And it's just incredibly dangerous. So the latest on Julian Assange is his legal team applied for bail on the grounds that, one, he is in prison where coronavirus is spreading and he's at incredibly grave risk, saying that he's fine to go on electronic monitoring, report from a house arrest, you know, that kind of situation, and that was denied. But it was also brought on the grounds that Julian has had so little access to his legal team that his due process rights are being violated. He cannot meaningfully participate in his own legal defense. This is obviously a massive case with hundreds of thousands of documents requiring computer use, requiring talking with his legal team for extended periods of time. He gets like 10 minutes on the phone lately. He's had legal papers taken from him. When we saw him in court, just the first day of court, he had been handcuffed 11 times, strip searched twice, been in 5 different holding cells. And so now they're trying to work out a way to teleconference his hearing, but even that puts him at risk because he would be in a holding cell where other inmates potentially with coronavirus have been. So he's in incredibly grave risk, but the trial is currently set to continue May 18th. So again, we can talk more about other ways to get involved, but
defend.wikileaks.org is the main way to go right now.
Thank you so much, Nathan. We've gotten a million questions, probably at least 100, and they all center around supporting Julian Assange. One of them, Nathan, was there are so many petitions around. Can we collate and combine them into one powerful one? And if so, where can we learn more about petitions? And remember, we need to raise funds for Julian Assange's freedom. Contact defend.wikileaks.org/donate, and you can contribute generously. In the meantime, what can you tell us about the petitions, Nathan?
Yeah, so there are two main ones going around right now. There's a change.org petition directed at the UK, and Amnesty International has finally spoken up to call for attention to Assange's case and has a petition going around to oppose the charges and oppose the extradition and to release him now. So you can find more about those at defend.wikileaks.org. And then I'll get more into it, but in the UK, don'textraditeassange.com.
And other activities that are upcoming or where people can go to find the activities that are planned across the country and around the world?
Yeah, at both of those sites, defend.wikileaks.org and don'textraditeassange.com list upcoming events. Obviously, we've had to take them online thus far, but I think we should take advantage of this opportunity to get really organized. And that's what we're doing with the Committee to Defend Julian Assange and Civil Liberties here in the United States.
Thank you. Let's go to our next speaker before we hear from Julian Assange's companion fiance. Our next speaker is Nozomi Hayashi. She's a liberation psychologist, a journalist, and a contributor to the new book, Defend Julian Assange. Welcome, Nozomi. I've been told that my sound is constantly going down. So our next speaker will be...
Thank you, Jeff. Can you all hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. First of all, thank you for organizing this important event, and thank you for inviting me to speak on this important matter. For the last 10 years, I've been researching WikiLeaks, looking at this organization as a culture phenomenon that not only changed the media landscape, but also our society at large. In this effort, I ended up documenting the US government's war against the First Amendment by attacking WikiLeaks, and which has now, as we are seeing, accelerated into prosecution of Julian Assange with Department of Justice charging him under the espionage. Mike Pompeo, the former CIA director, now Trump's Secretary of State, calls WikiLeaks as a non-state hostile intelligence service and saying that Julian Assange is trying to subvert American values. But that's not what I have come to observe. In my last 10 years, of research, I witnessed that this is the organization that defended fiercely, more than any organization that I know of, defended ideals that founded this country. So here I'd like to share with you what I came to understand about this organization and why Julian Assange needs to be protected. So as we all know, WikiLeaks is a journalistic organization which accepts documents from whistleblowers. And if these documents are verified to be authentic and of public interest, they publish them. WikiLeaks is derives its inspiration from sources, the College of Whistleblowers, and it honors the wishes of their sources. And one of the whistleblowers over time, Chelsea Manning, who is the source behind the WikiLeaks publication of the Collateral Matter video, she wanted us to see what our government is doing in our name. She wanted us to see our government's involvement in killing innocent civilians, including children and journalists. But that was not just the only wish that she had. Manning wanted all of us to live in a society that is truly conceived in liberty and is dedicated to the proposition that all women and men are created equal. And these ideals sound very familiar, especially for most of us Americans, because these are words written by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. And of course, we understand, as we look at history, that these premises just remain to be a promise, and the Constitution was supposed to be its fulfillment, but it has never been realized its ideals. And Manning, she didn't just sit there passively wait for someone to achieve these goals. She wasn't just hoping for change. She actively stepped forward, and through her act of whistleblowing, she carried out, she engaged in civil disobedience to fulfill these ideals. And as we all know, Americans, my fellow Americans, the idea of civil disobedience, that is a very traditional American idea. And that was said to be a mechanism that could enable true democracy, that was supposed to unleash the forces that could fulfill the gap between ideals in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And Julian Assange, with his work, through his work with WikiLeaks, he helped young American to carry on this act of civil disobedience. Julian Assange provided Manning an avenue for a right to, for her to freely speak. And with it, together, they achieved the ideals that founded this country. So Julian Assange is a journalist. He won a numerous prestigious journalistic awards, as a matter of fact. But he's a foremost, a defender of America's conscience. And he defended, he fought, he sacrificed his liberty in order to truly uphold these ideals, ideals that are very true to America. And he's punished for this. He's now hunted down by the US government that tries to destroy these ideals. And Assange did it. Assange fulfilled the source's wishes. Assange fulfilled Manning's wishes in a most beautiful and remarkable way. Both Manning and Assange together, they changed the course of history. They set and established an important precedent. The publication of the Collateral Matter video created a possibility for humanity to create a society, create a free society based on the power of love, exemplified by Manning's act of selfless love. And it is now our duty to fulfill these ideals. And it's our responsibility to free Julian Assange. And Assange's freedom cannot be won by the court. Justice for Assange cannot be delivered by politicians, cannot be delivered by Joe Biden or Trump or any other prime ministers or politicians. It can be only done by each of us engaged in the act of civil disobedience. And only in the court of public opinion, through the conscience of ordinary people as the highest law of the land, can Julian Assange be freed. Free Julian Assange. Thank you.
Thank you, Nozomi. Thank you so much. If we're ready, from our technical team, let's hear the heartwarming and insightful remarks of Julian's fiance companion, Stella Morris.
Hello, sweetheart.
Where are all these people?
Come say hello.
Hello.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello. I'm Stella Morris. I am Julian Assange's partner. Yeah. I met him in 2011. We got together in 2015. and we have two children, Max and Gabriel. I had received an email from Jennifer Robinson, who put out a request through her Oxford network that the case that she was involved in, which involved Julian Assange, needed more people. Our first meeting was in Paddington at the Frontline Club, and I talked about my background, the fact that I was a fluent Swedish speaker, the fact that I had studied law, and started working with Baltasar Garzon, who was the international coordinator of Julian's international legal team. I had been in the embassy almost every single day and got to know Julian very well. And in 2015, we got together.
You started a relationship?
Yeah, I mean, we fell in love, and this is a person that I knew well by then, the person I know the most in this world, and he's extraordinary. He's generous and he's very tender and loving.
On the computer, yeah?
On my phone.
On your phone?
Yes.
Yeah, you like to watch that.
On my cameras.
On your cameras?
Yes.
This is the younger one, Max, with the cat. And, that's a little one. There's a big little one. That's a big one. Kind of the same picture. They're quite similar looking when you look at them like that. And the big one has the older one is actually very much like Julian. He looks a lot like Julian, especially around the eyes, the kind of the eyebrows, and the gaze is very much Julian's. The little one looks more like me, and he has Julian's ears and Julian's size because he's very big. And he looks like his brother, but of the two of them, the older one is very Julian. Yeah. I've seen him in prison, and I'm struggling to think of how to explain it, why he's there, and so on. You also don't want to you want them to feel a positive feeling about going there as well, so kind of it's a bit of a charade. And they're very happy children. I knew there was some spying going on when I found out that my baby was targeted. As a guard actually went up to me and told me that they were trying to steal the DNA. I realized that I couldn't really protect my family. I understood that the powers that were against Julian were ruthless and there were no bounds to it. And that's partly why I feel now that I have to do this, because I've taken so many steps for so many years, and I feel like Julian's life might be coming to an end. It's been 10 years of breaking someone down, of trying to destroy his life,
and it's a well-known pattern. You know, whistleblowers. People who expose the powerful. They destroy them. And we know this when this happens. And somehow everyone has failed Julian. They've all failed Julian. They've taken every negative angle they have been able to. You can do that to anyone. You can destroy anyone like that. You just need to start overanalyzing them. Sweetie.
Wow. I must say that so many people from all over the world, from India and Chicago, Maine, one place after another are expressing their solidarity with Julian. One person said, wrote in to tell us that there have been 90,000 whistleblower remarks registered by the government. Only Julian Assange has published his. Julian Assange is exercising a free speech right, and we are demanding the right to know the truth about their policies of our government. If we are denied that truth, we live, in effect, in a dictatorship. Uninformed people who must blindly accept the policies of the government. So with that, we've received some 47 messages, in fact, 11 since I began counting. And they all focus on the demand for solidarity, legal questions like why was his petition denied? What's the schedule of the court hearings? How can we help? Julian has an underlying lung condition that is vulnerable to the COVID-19 epidemic. We have so many people around the country who are expressing their personal and moral concern with all the whistleblowers, including Chelsea and Edward Snowden, who is holed up in Moscow because he dared to reveal a simple truth that the United States government literally spies on every single person on earth all the time. And for that exposure, they have designated him as a criminal. We want to free these whistleblowers. We want to create and build and foster a society where everyone is a whistleblower, where the truth is told. So with that, we've already heard from 41 people asking the same. Let me ask my own question. Let's return to the panel and ask the panelists to comment on any and all these or other matters that we need to hear from. But let me begin with Jim Lafferty. And that is, Jim, we've often heard the notion that civil liberties, democratic rights, and free speech are subordinate to the, quote, national security interests of the United States. What's your view on that, McCarthy?
Well, if that was true, then it wouldn't be the kind of United States we used to talk about when I was a kid in school. I mean, that's always the excuse, that you can't know the truth because we've got to do something behind your back. And we're doing it, of course, for your benefit, to keep you safe. And we've learned through more wars than we can count that that's often a lie. We've learned through the Pentagon Papers themselves the value of letting that which supposedly will do us harm, in fact, educate us so that we can better approach and better protest, as we did, Joe and I and millions of others, you, Jeff, the war in Vietnam. So that's a bull BS argument. Obviously, it's the argument of tyrants who don't want the truth to come out, don't want the public to know the dirty deeds they're doing behind the public's back. But if I could also, because I don't know where else it's going to come up, and I want to get this in, and it's critically important. Julian is being, the extradition from the United States to England is under the Extradition Act of 2003. And there are two things about that act that are crystal clear. They're not a matter of court interpretation or anything. One is that the respondent, England, has no obligation, in fact, should not extradite someone who is a political prisoner. And the reason for the extradition request from the United States is a political reason. And clearly that's the case with Julian Assange. There's often crimes involved, but clearly he's the political figure that is. And secondly, that act specifically says no one is to be extradited under it if the country they're going to be extradited back to, there is torture. We already know what happened to Chelsea Manning in the solitary confinement. That's been ruled torture by the whole world, except for the United States, of course. So the act itself under which the United States is trying to get Julian back, silence him so that again, the truth is not known in the interest of some national security myth, is itself on its face illegal. Not that that seems to stop the US government, but that's something that people that are watching should be writing it about and talking to. Stop trying to extradite Julian Assange. You're torturing him. He's a political prisoner. Leave him alone. Let him keep speaking and finding the truth.
Thanks, Jim. Once again, if you'd like to contribute to our effort, to the efforts of the Committee to Defend Julian Assange and Civil Liberties, you can contribute directly to the Courage Foundation, defend.wikileaks.org, and click on donate. Get in touch with us, join the effort. I'm going to go back to the beginning of the panel for 2 minutes each to answer my question or any of the others that come in over and over. There was one comment, Jim, it must have been a friend of yours who said, the famous Jim Lafferty, leading specialist on Freedom of Information Act applications, right on. Thanks so much for the participation of all the panelists. Let's go back to Joe Lombardo, United National Anti-War Coalition. Joe?
Well, it seems to me that if the U.S. has to hide what it does for security, the security of the government and the security of the people of the country are two different things. And I think they very much are. Every poll that we've seen shows that the majority of people in the United States are for peace, and yet the U.S. is a government of war. And the only way it can continue these wars, the only way it continue to get some support from the population of the country is to lie about these things. And I believe the news media in the United States has become so controlled that you don't find too much out about what is going on. People don't know, for instance, by and large, that the United States has a little armada on its way to Venezuela as a way of attacking that country, or that there was 2 days ago a conflict in the off the coast of Iran with Navy vessels there. Things that they don't want you to know, they won't tell you. And so it is extremely important that we know that our government is watching us all the time, that we know what these secrets are. And the secrets, as I mentioned in my own talk, tend to be things like the war crimes that the United States is doing. I do not think that if the majority of people understood that or saw that collateral murder video, they would support these wars, and so that they are hidden from us. And that's just not acceptable. I think the goal and role of committees like this and the anti-war movement must be to break through that, to demand civil liberties, to demand freedom of speech, and to fight against all attempts to curtail that.
Thanks, Joe. Margaret Kimberly, Senior Editor, Black Agenda Report. You're up again for 2 minutes.
Yes. It actually... The surveillance state is incompatible with a democracy. In order to maintain an imperial system, in order to maintain a system that spies on every one on the planet who has a cell phone or is online, you cannot have democracy. But I think the response to that is to change this system and to have, a system that is compatible with democracy, which means no wars of aggression, which means doing away with the rights we've had, which have been whittled away little by little by little, especially starting on September 11th, 2001, with the Patriot Act, with the Espionage Act, putting the government in its place, defending. And by the way, I want to say what Julian Assange is suffering from, millions of people suffer from who face our so-called justice system. There's torture in our prisons all the time, all over the country. The world's worst jailer, more than 2 million people behind bars, often on trumped up charges like Julian Assange. So yes, we do need more democracy. That means we need to fight for a different kind of country, to fight for a real democracy, and to fight against this so-called justice system, which practices so much cruelty against so many millions of people.
Thank you again, Margaret. Before I get to our next speaker for 2 minutes, Nathan Fuller, I want to ask our technical experts, maybe after Nathan, if they could give us some statistics on how many people have registered for the Zoom or are watching us on live stream or YouTube or Facebook. That would really help. Meanwhile, glad you're all with us, and let's return to Nathan Fuller, the executive director of the Courage Foundation that specializes in defending whistleblowers, Julian Assange, Chelsea Manning, and Edward Snowden. Nathan?
Sure, and just to quickly answer that question you read about the motion being denied, the judge denied Julian Assange's defense request for postponement because the judge seems to think that by May 18th, something could be different for the coronavirus. She seems to think even as the current UK system has all kinds of problems providing transparency, that it could somehow be different. But she's then just ignoring the issues about Assange's access to his legal team. So they want to push this forward with as little transparency and accountability as possible, make it as difficult for Julian as possible. And so that's really why she denied that. But so how to get involved? So while the major action of the case obviously is in the US and the UK, and to the extent its politicians will make the case, Australia, we need worldwide support. And supporters anywhere and everywhere should go to defend.wikileaks.org. There you can get ongoing updates that we do about Assange's case. We have resources like UN reports, timelines that we've created to lay out the ongoing persecution over many years. And that's where you can donate to WikiLeaks Assange's Defense Fund that funds our efforts as well as the legal team. In the UK, if you're UK citizens, it's really vital that you let your representative know that you oppose the extradition. Get your representative on the record saying they do too and that they'll push for it to be blocked. But in the US, we need to show the world that we do not support Donald Trump's war on the press, that we don't want to extradite an Australian citizen here, that Assange must be released. So to that end is why we started the Committee to Defend Julian Assange and Civil Liberties. This is the time to get really organized here in the US. If Assange survives this pandemic, this case will likely go on for a couple of years. So, but we don't want to just wait until he's here to start protesting a prosecution. We want to stop the extradition before he does get here. And we want to be fully organized to defend the First Amendment if he does. So this committee is a project of the Courage Foundation. So look out for announcements there about the committee and get in touch with me and us to get involved. On Twitter, we're at CourageFound. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Telegram, and you can sign up for our newsletter, which is where we'll announce that new website for this new committee. Again, defend.wikileaks.org.
Thank you so much, Nathan. By my rough count, we have over 500 people who are viewing this in one form or another. I may be off because I don't have all the data yet, but that's a good start. Let's go now to Nozomi Hayashi. She is the contributor to the new book in defense of Julian Assange. She is a journalist, and she is a liberation psychologist living in the Bay Area. Nozomi, you're up for two.
Yeah, I think, you know, psychologically, I think what is important is we have to trust ourselves, start trusting our own way of knowing. And I think we have given so much power to representatives, whether it's their politicians or experts, including journalists or people in academia. And by doing this, we kind of started to think that we don't have anything, you know, we don't have knowledge or we are not good enough, or, you know, we kind of bow down to the authority. And as a result, the democracy has been tremendously weakened. So I think it's one of the important things that the WikiLeaks provided was the tool for ordinary people to actually use to start informing ourselves. And that is a very decentralized platform. And we could just go on and to the WikiLeaks website and start investigating important issues. So in the sense that I think we should start to exercise our right to free speech by speaking up what we think is right. And when something is wrong, you know, when we notice something is wrong, then we should start to sharing what we feel and inform each other. And in that light, there is a website called challengepower.info, which is created by WikiLeaks supporters. It's like a wiki page where you could just register and you could edit and you could contribute information about Julian Assange's case. And we can collaborate to educate ourselves. And it's an online and global platform. So I highly recommend everyone to get involved and contribute your knowledge. And that's, I think, the only way that we could have a citizen journalism. People start actually reporting on these important matters and don't shy away from speaking. That's I think, the only way that we can free Julian Assange and we can take back our own democracy.
Thank you again, Nozomi. So we have some more questions that the panel might want to address. And we have 15 minutes left of this 90-minute broadcast. One question is, where is the axis of this case? Is it in London, England, or is it in the United States? Another question is, let's see. Ed Geranis from Brunswick, Maine asks, what are the three top things we can do to defend Julian Assange starting now? And I'd like to make my own comment. We live in an incredible time, a time that has never been experienced, at least in modern human history, where a terrible virus is taking the lives of tens of thousands of people. In the United States, 35,000 people have died. 1.5 million have been infected worldwide. And yet we have a scientific community that is basically, because of the nature of the system, prevented from sharing the truths about the origins of the coronavirus, about the treatment, about the vaccines. Science is conducted in secret because the one who arrives at the best result first profits. Imagine if it were a collective effort, if all the scientists and concerned people were aware of what knowledge humanity poses, we could rapidly find a cure and build a society with an ecosystem, with allocation of resources that meet human needs, as opposed to the terrible profits of the tiny few. This coronavirus has revealed many faults about American society. 1/3 of the American population can't pay rent. 1/3 of the renters. 22 million people have applied for unemployment insurance. Tens of millions of people live day to day, barely check to check. The overwhelming preponderance of the victims are poor people, Black and Latino people, and Native American people. The inequalities of society that we see exposed by the coronavirus are the same inequalities with regard to access to the truth about all of these matters, about racism and mass incarceration, when Margaret says that we imprison the largest number and percentage of people in prisons in the world. We live in an unjust society, and the fight for free speech, to free Julian Assange, the right to know, is critical. Let's turn for the next 10 minutes for a few more comments from our speakers, and then we'll wrap it up. Remember, you can contribute and learn more by going to your website, defend.wikileaks.org, and donate to the effort. So let's give the ball back to Nathan on perhaps the three top things we can do now. And raise your hand, panelists, if you'd like another minute or two. We'll go to Margaret and Jim.
Yes. Thank you. One thing that everyone can do is write their elected representatives. I see people from the US, it looks like from the UK, from Australia, all these countries talk about being democracies. I think it's important to write to your member of Congress, write to your senators, and express your opposition to Assange's extradition and prosecution. And the same goes for people in other countries. I would also suggest writing to your major news outlets in your country and also express the same opinion. They need to know that Julian Assange has supporters, and it's important that that they hear from them. Thanks.
Before I get to Nathan again, I also note that one of our listeners asked about Captain Crozier. Was he not persecuted by expressing his right to free speech and to try to save the lives of sailors, huge numbers of whom had contracted the virus? So with that, let's go to Nathan for wrap-up remarks.
Sure. I think Margaret did a good job of talking about the top actions people can take. It's absolutely important that you get in touch with your representatives and spread the word through op-eds or letters to your local editors. I also really think it's important to, especially in the U.S. now, to get organized, to start talking to your friends locally and find out who else supports Assange and what you guys can do together. This committee to defend Julian Assange started out with some big branches of already organized people in New York and Los Angeles in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we want to expand that. So if you're in a different region, get together with some local supporters and organizers and get in touch with us, and let's build a branch in your area. We can, you know, take advantage of this time that we have in the quarantine and its coronavirus containment to get organized online, to build up our websites and get and find out, you know, who in our local regions are our fellow supporters. So get in touch with them and together get in touch with us.
Thanks, Nathan. Jim Lafferty.
Well, no, I just want to second everything Nathan said. I want to second everything Nathan said. It was much of what I was going to say. One of the things also that you can do, Amnesty International has finally taken up Assange's case. Not as fully as they must, but they're now talking about it. So I would encourage people to write to Amnesty International, say, hey, why aren't you doing more about Julian Assange and the challenge that it presents? That would be one thing. You also asked quickly about the differences to what's the main legal team, of course, is in England, but we also have lawyers on this National Defense Committee for Assange. And of course, Jennifer, who we weren't able to hear from today, is with us. So there's a good close coordination there. But the movement in the United States does what works best in the United States as the movement in England does. But nothing we do here contradicts, of course, what the lawyers are doing firsthand in the courts in London.
We have approximately 5 minutes for two speakers. We'll give a final shot to Joe Lombardo, Nozomi, and we'll wrap it up. Joe, you're on for a minute or two.
I think what he did was very significant, and we all should support it. He put the life of the sailors on his ship above the priorities of the imperialist government that we exist in. So they went after him, but it has backfired on them, and he might even be reinstated. And one of the most strong political statements I've seen recently was when he was forced to leave his ship. All the sailors clapped and gave support to him. And I think things like that undermined the U.S. military, and that's very, very important during this period. One of the ways we won the Vietnam War, meaning the people of Vietnam and the people of the United States, not the U.S. government, was that anti-war sentiment became so deep in our society that it got right down to the military. And the military refused to fight. It ceased to be a fighting force in Vietnam. And so the U.S. Lost and the people of the world won. And I think that was very significant. And this does a similar thing, especially during this period of the coronavirus. U.S. is being especially aggressive towards countries that will not follow the lead of Washington and Wall Street. And they have been pushing, they are doing war games in the South China Sea. They have confronted Iranian vessels off the coast of Iran. They have sent an armada to the shores of Venezuela. I think that it's important that we oppose this and we undermine the government in that way. And all of these issues are very connected. That's why anti-war leaders such as myself understand the importance of Julian Assange case. It was the information that he put out that helped the anti-war movement and helps all of our movements. And so we must continue to do that. You can find always more information on the anti-war movement at the UNAC website, which is unacpeace.org, and will carry all sorts of all the petitions and all the other information and links to the Julian Assange pages too. And I just want to second what Jeff said. This is a unique period that we're going through. What we've learned to do in the past and what we've tried to do in the past, we should up that game by a lot. UNAC has gotten thousands of new subscriptions to our email list in the last couple of weeks. Maybe it's because people are home, but maybe it's because people are learning something about our society and how we couldn't respond to the coronavirus while other societies were, and that the just-in-time capitalism and neoliberalism where everybody's out on their own is not what's good for all people right now. And so people are questioning what the United States government is doing. That questioning will spill over to all the movements and all the movements for social change, and it will reignite, I believe, or can reignite, I believe, the movement for civil liberties and the movement in support of Julian Assange in this country. So we all need to get behind it. We all need to join together and support each other's struggles, because it's all one struggle. It's all geared against the same powers, and those are the powers in Washington and Wall Street.
Thanks, Joe Lombardo, National Coordinator, United National Anti-War Coalition. Let's go back to Nozomi Hayashi, liberation psychologist, journalist, contributor to the new book, Defend Julian Assange. Nozomi?
Yeah, I agree with what other panelists said. We should have more educational forum like this and support the Courage Foundation and don't extradite Assange, the defense committee based in London. And I like to say that this fight to free Julian Assange is really, I mean, it's the, of course, the outcome is very important, but also the process is as important as well, that we are now learning how to have real democracy. And this is a kind of schooling of activism. We haven't actually used a right to free speech. We haven't, you know, learned to speak our own truths and associate with one another and organize our society. So this is an important process that we all have to engage in, I think. So I like to say that, you know, we should all follow the act of courage demonstrated by Joshua Manning and Julian Assange and all other whistleblowers. And that's where we start, everything starts. So inform, organize, act, free Julian Assange.
Thank you, Nozomi. A final question for Nathan. People are asking on how to contact Julian Assange in prison. Do they have to put the date of birth or his prison or other information on the envelope? and so on. If you could tell us that. Of course, we've got some closing comments from everyone, including remarks like "Ain't no power like the power of the people," and remarks saying "Free Julian Assange, free Mumia, and all political prisoners. No to war on Venezuela and the 60-year blockade against Cuba." All kinds of activists from every walk of life have been with us today. I want to thank all of the panelists. And if Nathan is available, you can write to Julian at...
Go to writejulian.com to get specific information about that. It's been a difficult ordeal, actually, for Julian. At some points, they've withheld some of his mail. Obviously, they read all of it, but they've withheld it for some time, keeping him even more isolated than he was in solitary confinement. But then they did let some letters go through, and we've confirmed that he's has received some. So, yeah, check out writejulian.com.
Jim Lafferty, Joe Lombardo, Nick Brannon, and Cedric O'Bannon are technical experts who have been overcome by forces unbeknown to us. Let's free Julian Assange. Let's work together in a united way. Let's build a broad, united coalition to bring Julian Assange home free and healthy. Thank you so much for attending. Our 90 minutes is up. I'm Jeff Mackler, representing the steering committee of the Committee to Defend Julian Assange and Civil Liberties. Thanks for your time and patience. Thanks to our wonderful audience and their questions.